another episode of 20 Minutes with Chad. Hey, Chad, I have this really weird idea I forgot to tell you about. It's not really weird, but I've been doing it.
What is it?
Well, I kind of started looking into making 20 with Matt Chad t-shirts, but it's really weird because I have this gigantic picture of your face and I find it disturbing that I'm trying to make the photo bigger. And so very soon, Chad, you're going to walk around with your own face in LA on your stomach.
That would be freaking awesome. People would be like product placement because I go to Starbucks all the time.
Chad back so the photo is a little bit more rounded.
And see, what's weird is, like, be more rounded. Let's see, 20 minutes with Chad. I'm trying to see. That'd be so weird. It'd be, like, almost really meta wearing my face.
I guess my question is, are you going to order one for your mom?
Oh, definitely. I'll order one for my mom, myself, a couple of my friends. So they could be, like, in Sacramento, they'd be, like, wearing it. So people would be, like, no. Say what?
Del Taco?
Del Taco. That would be funny. Like, all my friends and work friends. I could make all my work, like, coworkers wear it. That'd be funny. Or get my Latina crush to wear it.
So I guess my next question is, you literally like Starbucks.
Oh, I love Starbucks. If Starbucks was a chick, I would, like, wife it and have tons of Starbucks babies. We call them little bentes.
But maybe I am. You like to tell me stories about Starbucks, so maybe you could share one with our listeners that you've told me in the past.
Oh, yeah. So a little while back, there's this barista who's really, like, really bad customer service, like really, really bad. And I go there all the time. I go every day after my walks and everything. And I go and get it. I always get a venti coffee. So I go up there, and I was like, yes, I like a venti coffee. Almond milk and three stevia. Stevia is like a fake, like from like monk fruit, you know, because I'm a hipster now. So basically, she's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And she charged me for a venti. So Starbucks is really slow in LA because there's so many people ordering it. And about 5 minutes later, I get my coffee and she's like, oh, it's a grande. Oops, I could fix it. I'm like, all right, cool. And, you know, no big deal. I don't really worry or stress about it. And, she comes back with a venti cup, like, all right, cool, you know, I got it, went home. And I was just like, when I got home, like, my cup feels weird. And I was like, this is kind of weird. It feels a lot lighter. Well, what turns out she did, instead of pouring the coffee in the venti cup and giving me more coffee for the venti, she placed the grande-filled coffee, the actual cup, into and just placed it into a venti cup. I was like, wait a minute. So I paid $2.75, got a $2.65 coffee, and she just placed it in the venti cup. Like, that's like a new level of laziness. At first, I was like, I couldn't even be mad about it. I was laughing to myself so hard. I was just like, wow. I was just like, this is crazy. Like, usually they just, like, you know, fill it up, like, open it up and pour it into the cup and stuff and give me more. But she did the complete opposite. She just put it into a venti cup. And I'm like, wow. So, and that was a bad day anyways, because I was just like, I was ripped off at a grocery store. And then I was just like, what a day. But yeah, that's just like, and I've always had issues with this chick because she usually overcharges me. It's like, that's why I always get nervous when I see her, because she always overcharges me. Like, she, when she puts the almond milk, she charges me for almond milk, because when you eat coffee, if you want to do breve, they put a splash of, you know, almond milk, because I don't like putting a lot of milk in my coffee. She always charges me like 75 cents extra, and she's only putting a splash of almond milk in it anyways. And I was like, the fuck is wrong with this bitch? So it's like, so that's, she does that. And then finally, like, she was doing this for like 2 months, and every time I stopped even correcting her, I was just like, fuck it, I have the $4, whatever, I'll just fucking pay it, whatever. I need my coffee to write and to function, because after I walk my 7 to 8 miles, I just want my coffee so I could fucking do my writing session, try to meet my pages and my deadlines. And then what was it, I went one day to get it, and some baristas know that I work in show business. So one of the people was like, hey, Chad, how are you doing? Are you working on any new comedy stuff? How's your podcast going? Working on any films? Blah, 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 blah. And she, like all of a sudden, she got nervous. Like, oh, he has a podcast. Oh, he does this and that. And she realized, and then like after that, she'd been like really nice to me, and she actually makes my orders correct.
Interesting.
Right? I'm like, all the time. Like, even when like say like hot chicks work, like go get coffee, right? Like, since I've lost like almost 100 pounds, I'm in shape a lot now. So a lot of chicks talk and flirt with me now, which is kind of funny because I'm sitting there like, where were you bitches at when I was fat and funny? Instead of like, like seriously, like they wouldn't give me the time of day, but now they're like, oh, well, someone like sometimes there's one barista always calls me by my last name. It's like, what's up, Meisenheimer? And I'm like, ugh.
How does she know your last name? She must have looked you up.
No. A lot of the baristas know me because I go to the barista, like the store a lot. I've been going there for 4+ years, that one at least. The other one, I've been there going there for like 7 years. So I've been here for like 7 years, so I always go to Starbucks. I always change it up before the whole COVID thing. I would go to different ones, like to change routines, because they're all about the same distance. Like they're like 2 to 3 miles away, so I could walk. And I'll just plug in my outlet for the phone and just fucking type and do all that shit. Usually I handwrite. I shouldn't say type because I usually don't bring my computer. I usually leave my computer at home because it's like this area is kind of getting sketchy now where I'm just like people are getting robbed. Like the other day, someone was walking down this one street and this homeless dude literally robbed an old dude with a gun, which I was like, wow, okay. But yeah, no, it's just like this one barista that knows me for a long time goes like, hey, Meisenheimer, what's up? Because he knows I'm in show business. He's in fashion and stuff. So he's like – he always like talks about that. And these two chicks who are waiting for the coffee are like started like – I could tell that they're like Googling me because I could see over my shoulder like behind my glasses what they're doing. And then they're like all super nice to me like, oh, hi. Like they start talking to me and I'm like these bitches must be actresses or something because like they wouldn't give me the time of day, but then they heard my Meisenheimer working on comedy or movies and stuff like that. People start doing that. So that's what sucks about LA is because so like LA where you don't know if these chicks have like ulterior motives and agendas because LA is a whole different beast. There's a lot of fakes, flakes, and sharks in this business and this area too, where everyone's like moves here to be some big star or something, and it doesn't work that way. But I always like Starbucks. Trying to think of other Starbucks stories that's like crazy and weird. Like I run into a lot of celebrities and stuff there. There's this one comedian I run into all the time, Sam Tripoli. He's a weird dude. Like he's actually an asshole. I ain't gonna lie. He tries to be nice. He has like twins. Like him and his wife recently had like twins, so they're cute little babies, but he's always on the phone bitching and moaning because everything's shut down apparently. Like of course he makes his money, but he's one of those types where he's like he was complaining that he's not getting any money from his podcast. Like he talks loud on his phone. I'm like, bro, everyone could hear you talking on your fucking phone. And he's just like he's bitching and moaning how people are getting like 6 figures on Patreon and all these different things, and he hasn't been making any money, and he only gets a little bit of money here and there, and he's a big name comedian, and he goes to the Comedy Store and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, I'm like whatever. Like I like his stuff because I listen to his podcast Tinfoil Hats, which is like conspiracy theories and stuff. That's some funny shit. I like his podcast. I'm not a big fan of his comedy per se, but his podcasts are pretty fire. Let's see what else. I've seen Patton Oswalt.
A friendly guy in person.
Who, Patton Oswalt?
Oh God, wasn't friendly.
Oh no, he really is not. Yeah, he's kind of snobby. Like that's the thing, and he doesn't go by Pat. He calls himself Pat. He's like, my name Pat. And I'm like, okay. And he's fucking short, dude. I started laughing. I was like, what is this, fucking midget land? I'm like, doop, 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 doop. He looks like a fucking hobbit, dude. Everyone's going to be like, listen to this podcast. If they ever do listen to my podcast, it's all jokes. I would suck your dick. Just hire me. So that – but yeah, it's just like Starbucks is interesting. So like I've met a bunch of chicks – and I usually I've actually hooked up with a couple of chicks there, like one night stands and stuff. So
call me back,
uh-huh. Cheating on me,
you're done.
All right, chattel's out. like, we did two times. And just like, it was spot on. And I was just like, holy shit, the guy's professional as fuck. So we took him back and we let him sleep in the actress's room. Not, he didn't hit it, but like, he was like cuddled up to the dog. I was like, if he fucks this dog, I'm be like, oh my God. I was, but yeah, it was, interesting. Like, he was cool to work with, but I wasn't surprised. But yeah, no, I was just like, it's weird. Like, I'm just like, it's just like, wow. I wasn't shocked because everyone would make the big deal like, oh, are you shocked? And I'm like, no, not really, because yeah. I've worked with him. Because I worked with him. I worked with like Sean Weiss. I worked with like all these people. And I'm just like, they all like, he went to rehab. Yeah. I was just sitting there. And I was just like,
it's,
oh,
it's
my
like they gotta God. They gotta pass through your door right before rehab. You know what I mean?
Right? Seriously, I was sitting there like, no matter what. Even like when I was working in Sacramento, one of the first films I produced up there. Because I was hired as a producer at, right after out of film school by Greg Stechman. He was this filmmaker in Sacramento. He died of an overdose years ago, but he was a drug addict too, and I didn't even notice. And I'm sitting there and like all these people, I'm just like, oh my God, dude! It's just like, you know, and I have no problems with that. It's just like, yeah, it is what it is. It's just like in my 20s, I was bad. I did blow and I did shit like that. And I'm like, I was like, ooh, porn stars, cocaine. All right, yeah, okay, like. In my 20s, something happened in my 20s where after my brother died, I was like, fuck this. Because I used to be really conservative, very like – not conservative like politics, but like in lifestyle. I was raised Christian and all that stuff. And after that, I was just like, I'm 23. I've been living a lie type thing. And I was just like – just went balls to the wall, man. I was just like hookers, she-males, dude, everything you could think of. I was just like going through it. And I'm sitting here at 35. I'm like, man, I'm surprised I didn't die from AIDS but almost died from heart attacks. Like, Jesus. So what's your like your goals for your filmmaking? Like, are you planning to move to L.A., stay up there? Like, what's your –
So I guess, you know, when I first started getting into the industry, I started working for, while I was going to school, I started interning for Comcast Spotlight. And so Comcast Spotlight, they had a division in, it's a sales division in Sacramento where they'd sell ad space on Comcast channels, right? Well, they had a small production company that worked within that sales division that would get hired to go shoot commercials. So I started off, interning for them, and during the time I was interning, I maybe was a part of about 50 commercials. And then I worked with about like six different producers during that time. And then after that class where I, you know, did the internship with, and got, you know, directed to them for the internship, they hired me on to grip for them for, you know, an additional like 150 or close to 200 commercials. So while I was doing that, I kind of really developed a love for small like format productions, short productions, something that sort of it kind of gives me the quick satisfaction that I kind of wanted. You know, I want to see a project all the way through, but having to sit there for, you know, 6 to 9 months of working on a film and then not even be able to see it for another year or so didn't seem like it was something at the time that I wanted to do. So really early on, I started really loving the idea of shooting commercials, of shooting small projects, but in a cinematic way that, you know, somehow touched the heartstrings or the, you know, was funny or was sad or was like, you know, scary, even something that made people feel something. So I really started following, I think it was called the Murphy Group at the time. I can't remember. It was like an art house production company for an agency, and they did, projects like, who was it? Like the Caveman.
Okay.
The Caveman commercials, stuff like that for Geico. So that kind of stuff like really enticed me a lot. So if I could choose anything to start focusing on, if like I had the time and money wasn't an issue, I'd start focusing on building an agency to do commercials. And that sounds like small time, but for me, that would be, that'd be money for sure. And it'd be just, you know, being able to flex different kinds of, you know, whether it's comedy or whether it's drama or whether, you know, whatever it is, but incorporate that into commercials. So that'd be great. That's something I'd love to do. And then eventually, you know, be able to just make that living doing that and then kind of expand to films more so. You know, short films are easier too because they don't cost as much money, depending on how much money you really want to. Anything could be a money pit. But yeah, short films is definitely something I want to get into too, especially, like I said, Blue Jay, because, you know, I love that script. I love the idea of it. And then kind of just jumping back to the Darcy Dolce thing. So I met Darcy on set of a film by Nick Leisure.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you
know Leisure, I know Leisure.
He was shooting a film that had something to do with like mechanics. At the time I was shooting a YouTube show called Free Verse Fridays, and I was incorporating like local music artists onto the show, and I started expanding a little bit to filmmakers who worked in music. So one of them was Eric Lee. Eric Lee was a young filmmaker who I'd actually met going to school in El Grove. We met there, didn't really connect too much, but I remember meeting him. And then we went on, did our own separate things. And then he started shooting music videos for a couple local artists. So I actually had him featured on the show for one of my episodes. And he told me, hey, just come to this film that we're shooting. And, you know, we could do an interview there while we're not filming. I said, OK, great. So I show up and Darcy's there. And she's like little 5'2", hot little thing, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And not only is she hot, but she carries herself like she knows she's hot, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So there's that like sexual power that she had or whatever that she commanded in the room. So that's what kind of drew me to her. And that's when I met her and I started talking to her about Blue Jay, and I was telling her a little bit about it. And I said, I think you'd be perfect for it. One, because she just had a big interest in being in film. Mm-hmm. And then two, because, you know, she has that look, she's got the look. And, so that's when I got like, sort of like a verbal confirmation that she would at least be into reading it and checking it out. But it wasn't long after that that she started transitioning to pornography.
Yeah.
And then that's when her price tag went way up. So she sort of just, it got out of hand for me to be able, if I would have jumped on it and stayed on it quickly, mm-hmm. I might have been able to catch her at just the right moment. But timing wasn't on my side, you know?
See, and also, I'm going to say, like, we're saying Darcy Dolce because that's her stage name. I know her real name. So I'm like, I'm not going to say her real name because that's just that's her private life.
Yeah,
do her thing. Because I've had a couple of run-ins with her down here because, like, I was trying to date this one chick. Who like Amelia Oxney? She that's her stage name. Like she knew who she was. I went on a couple of coffee dates with Tasha Rain because she used to live a couple of blocks away from a couple of apartment complexes actually away from me. And this was when I was fat too, which I've lost a lot of weight. Like yeah, I lost almost I lost almost like 100 pounds. Like it's like. Yeah, like I walk every day and everything like that, and I work out. That's all I freaking do. But I sit there and I'm like, and that just didn't go nowhere. But I know people in the industry, even when I lived in Sacramento, which probably would never make me like work with Disney because they do a morality clause. I used to do casting for porn up there. Like I worked for like a couple of like adult sites, like Wild Girls, which is no longer around. Because there's another company called Wild Girls too, and that's not that one in LA, not that Wild Girls, but there's Wild Girls up there. And I would do casting, and a lot of people always tell me like, "Oh, casting must be so cool." Casting, I'm like, no, it's like HR work. It's like sitting there, you have to make sure their birth certificate, their social secure, their driver's license, they're tested, they're not underage, so you get sued or go to jail. Like I had nothing of that. And then of course you get like their photos and stuff of nakedness and stuff. But it's just like I don't know these chicks. I'm not one of those guys like, oh yeah, type thing where I'm like, oh, hot chick, naked chick, and I'm like, it's like no, it was a business. And I always made this joke with the boss at the time. I was like, man, if I see another vagina before my first cup of coffee, I'm gonna lose my shit. I was just like, because it's a job and a lot of people don't get that. And that's why everyone's just like, oh, sex workers, all they do is horny. And then I'm like, no, they're pretty much, it's their job. Like that's what always cracks me up because I always get that.
use your brain to be able to make anything successful, whether or not it's in sex work or, you know, behind the scenes film work of video, you know, sex or whatever it is.
Yeah.